I'm wrestling, do not weep for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? You are listening to episode number 98 of the T-Rone Funky Show, brought to you, as always, by Defense Soap. Defend what you have built, and Dahlemer Mats. And Tommy, we had another very exciting weekend of wrestling, a weekend that, again, did not go the Buckeyes' way. So let's just go ahead and get started with that.
Yes, you are correct, my comrade. I'm licking my wounds a little bit, but I'm here. I'm showing up. I'm standing in the center of the mat. I'm not dodging anybody.
Good. So, hey, you know what, though? More than anything, how is everyone sleeping on Michigan? I was just thinking about this when I was watching the matches today. Tommy, let me ask you this question. If Michich, Pantaleo, Massa, Amin, Abinader, and Kuhn all placed in the top four, would you be shocked?
No.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. And then they got Matten at 10, they got Beasley at 12, and Profaci and the other Amin are like 19, 20, somewhere in there. That's a really good team.
It is. I mean, I think they're number three. That's just my take, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, they had a really terrible, what was it, Vegas, and then they had a couple bad duels, which, you know, Massa, who I would have listed as probably the set number two guy, in my opinion, going into this year behind Aymar, has, you know, really had is number nine. He's not had a good year at all. And then, you know, Mitrich also had kind of a rough go at Vegas. He got major decision by, oh my gosh, Austin DeSanto. And everyone kind of just was sleeping on Michigan. We were all forgetting about how good they were.
Yeah, I know. They well, we had Joe McFarlane on to start the season. I think we knew how good they were. I think you and I have even said in any other normal year, you know, the firepower that they have on their team would make them a proverbial favorite to win the national title, and they really haven't been in the discussion, which is amazing.
Yeah, not at all. No one's even considering them.
Well, here's what's also interesting, and I mean, we can bash on the Buckeyes. I'm sure we're going to for about a half hour here, but just to speak to the firepower that Penn State and Ohio State have, Ohio State underperformed, Michigan overperformed, and we're talking about how good they are, and they still lost.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Michigan wrestled really well. Ohio State did not wrestle that well. And they still won. So yeah, that's a testament to how good they were, or they are. Do you want to start with Kuhn Snyder? I don't know if we should go in weight order or if we should just start there.
We're better when we just talk emotionally. So okay. I think that's fine.
Hey Tommy, I didn't get to watch any of these matches live. I was doing private lessons yesterday. I get up today. I watched the matches, and Snyder wasn't close to a takedown, Tommy. He really wasn't. And I'm thinking, like, okay, first of all, when someone told me, I was like, holy, there's no freaking way. There's no way that happened. And then when I watched it, I'm like, okay, I'm sure, like, Snyder was close to, like, seven takedowns and just couldn't get one, and Kuhn, you know, pulled one out of his butt. That's not what I saw. When I watched the match, Snyder wasn't close to a takedown. He's got some work to do to beat Kuhn in March.
I don't know if you could say he wasn't close.
When was he close?
He was in deep on a high crotch to start the match.
He was in deep, but he was not close to that takedown.
And he had a low ankle where Kuhn's toe was bent towards Kyle in a way where you thought another inch he could have ripped Kuhn's knee off for the takedown. So there were examples of where Kyle should have exploited further what he was doing, but I would agree with you that I was shocked, to say the least, about, you know, the tempo of the match and the ability for Kuhn to kind of, I wouldn't say control the tempo, but just participate in the tempo. I think that the match was wide open to me, which I haven't seen from Kyle at the college level since the Gwazowski match.
Yeah. Tommy, I'm gonna stand by my original statement. He got in on some shots, but he wasn't that close. He really wasn't. And more often than not, how I actually felt was that, oh my gosh, if they weren't by the edge or if there was a little more time, Kuhn might have had that takedown. Because once Kyle got underneath him, and there, I think there was three times when he got underneath, it was kind of squished. I mean, I really thought he was going to give up another takedown.
Yeah, man. Well, here's the thing is that you and I both know that Kuhn was 6'4", 6'5", 290 pounds, and that Kyle's 5'10", 5'11", 220, 25 pounds. We both knew that going into the match. I knew those statistics, but watching them stand next to each other when they slapped hands, it's like, oh my gosh, Adam Kuhn is a massive human. And
Huge. He was way bigger than Kyle. It wasn't even close.
Once they slapped hands, I thought, well, regardless of the result, it's good that Kyle's feeling him more than Kuhn is feeling Kyle.
You think?
Because, yeah, I do. I do for sure.
Okay, so one of the things I felt like when I was watching Kyle versus Nick Nevels, it's that Kyle doesn't take great angles. He's so freaking powerful and great defensively. And again, when he's wrestling guys his own size, it's not really an issue, Tommy. The issue right now is that, you know, last week against Nevels, this guy 50 pounds bigger than him, he's got to go underneath over and over and over again. And now against Kuhn is, you know, 50 pounds, might be 60 pounds bigger. I mean, way bigger. And is athletic, and he can move. And, man, Kyle's got his work cut out for him. I mean, he is not going to go take Kuhn down four times in a match. He's going to win a grind. If he wins,
it's going to be
a grinding 3-2, 4-3 type match.
Well, I think it can be a grinding score, but I think exactly what you're saying is that, you know, in my opinion, I think we would all agree that Kyle's a better actual wrestler. But when you look at the physical matchup, something that Kyle got to feel Sunday that he hadn't felt for a year and a half since the last time he wrestled Kuhn, I think what he needs to do is he needs to essentially make it a tactical wrestling match, which is not Kyle's MO.
Not at all.
But I think he's a good enough wrestler. I know he's a good enough tactical wrestler that if he just exploits where he knows he's better than Kuhn.
What is that?
After watching that wrestling match, I would abandon the high crotch.
Agreed.
I would steer clear of all over unders or underhooks. None of that. And I would snap the head and work my low single because he can retreat from a failed low single attempt if he respects the positions that Kuhn is good in because of his size. And I think that if he were to snap and look for the low single for 7 straight minutes, Kuhn would tire out quicker because he's not going to beat him in a brawl. He's not going to make him tired by brawling.
Yes.
So I think he's going to wear himself out. So I'd be snapping off the hands, off the arms, off the head, and looking for my low single. I would even be hitting a low single, and I believe Kyle can retreat and get back to his feet before he gets crushed underneath. But I don't think he respected that position enough. He stayed underneath too long,
yep.
And then he couldn't get out. So I guess I just think that Kyle needs to respect the size differential a little bit more than he did, and then we would see a different result. But to the point, I don't think we're going to see anything other than 3-2 from either guy.
Yeah.
Maybe 5-3, maybe.
Sure. Tommy, I want to say I think you nailed it on the head there. I think I agree. I would abandon the high crotch. I would try maybe some high singles because they're very low risk. But I think, like your point, that the pulling on the head, going to the low single is that's probably where it's at for Kyle Snyder. That's how he's going to get that takedown.
Yeah, and you know, to your point, and it's hard to criticize a three-time World Olympic champion who's 22 years old, and I'm not doing that, but I guess to your point, if he were a little bit more angle-oriented on his attacks, I think, you know, as good as Kuhn is, I think it'd be like timber, redwood forest, timber downs. You know what I mean? But that's not what Kyle does. And I'm going to compliment you here. I listened to both of your Mental Mondays today on Facebook.
Wow, I appreciate it.
I don't get onto Facebook very often. But what you said, a lot of common mistakes that kids make at this time of year is they see what wrestler A did to wrestler B, and they try to immediately adopt what worked for that guy to beat a good wrestler. And obviously, Kyle's smarter than this, and so is the Ohio State coaching staff. But I don't think Kyle's never been a guy to hit swing singles. So I don't think he should go hitting them on Adam Kuhn. But, man, I think if he was good at everything, that'd be the skill I'd be hitting.
I agree again.
But since it's not his skill, he shouldn't do it. And I'd be snapping, looking for low singles. I agree with the high single move. I think he could actually fake low single, go up to high single, or vice versa.
Yes.
I actually think all of those level fakes and all of those snaps are going to tire out Kuhn more than the brawling style.
And being underneath Kuhn, you know, Kyle said that is 100% exhausting for Kyle and pretty much 0% exhausting for Adam Kuhn.
Yeah, so I think, do I think Kuhn can win? Of course. Do I think Kyle should win next time they wrestle? I mean, that's my opinion, and I'm not even being unbiased about that. I just think that Kyle, it wasn't that he didn't respect Kuhn. I think he respects all of his opponents at the right level. I just think that he didn't believe that 6'5", 290 size differential would take a toll on him the way that it did. And it did. And I just think if he makes some tactical adjustments, he'll be fine. I'll tell you one thing that Kuhn did very, very well, and I think it was intentional, and I got to compliment their coaching staff, is that Kuhn's counterattacks to some of Kyle's level fakes and attacks was to immediately be vicious with that body lock.
Yes.
And it forced Kyle to bail
and
back up because at that point he was respecting Kuhn. And I think Kuhn's going to be going back to that, don't you?
If I were Adam Kuhn, I would absolutely go back to that. And, you know, what I would do, so we kind of talked about what Kyle should do. I hope we're not getting too technical for our listeners, but what I were Adam Kuhn, I would move forward. I would look for underhooks. I would look for my body lock. And I would try to force Kyle Snyder to go underneath me. I think having Kyle underneath him wore Kyle out a lot. I mean, that's a 290-pound guy on top of you. Man, I don't care how strong Kyle is. That's an exhausting position, having that much weight on you. And I think I want to say Kyle was underneath him either three or four times for extended period, not for like a couple seconds, for, you know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. I mean, spending a lot of time under there. So, yeah, I would absolutely go back to it if I was Adam Kuhn.
You know what's interesting to me with Kuhn? I mean, he just did the impossible, essentially. So I'm not, you know, cutting on him at all because he's a great wrestler. But, you know, he walks forward, left foot in front of right foot in his stance.
Uh-huh.
And most wrestlers, when they're going forward, there's like a cadence.
Yes.
It's not like a walk forward.
Yeah.
And when guys are doing that, because I wrestled heavyweight then, if Kyle were to snap either off the arms or off the head and then sidestep, like get to the side almost like those Mexican or Spanish dudes do.
Tommy, stop saying racist shit on our podcast.
Whatever.
The bullfighters.
Matadors.
Are they Spanish or are they Mexican? Because I'm not sure either.
Spanish matadors.
Are you sure it doesn't happen in Mexico either? Because I don't know.
Either way, I really believe a whole world would open up to Kyle if he were. But what Kyle does is Kyle snaps forward.
Yes. Straight on.
When you got this 290 guy coming after you, you snap and get out the way. And I think if he did that, there'd be, you know, one, he'd be at an angle. I just think that a whole world would open up for him. But again, to your point on your mental Monday, he's got to stay within his sphere of what he's great at, what makes him the best in the world. And I don't think he should. I just think that's why I think that low single, snapping off, going to that low single, that's where he's great. He should just stay within that little deal there.
I agree. Tommy, there's bullfighting in both Spain and Mexico, FYI. I just Googled it.
Where did it originate, Ben?
Oh, I didn't Google that. Probably Spain.
Where did the matador originate?
Okay. So I think we gave a really good synopsis of the Snyder-Coon thing. We actually spent, a long time at it. Bullfighting started in Spain in 1711 AD with the first official bullfight, the Corrida de Toros, being held on honor of the coronation of King Alfonso VIII, once part of the Roman Empire. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Interesting. Okay, so let's keep going.
Okay.
Tomasello hammers Drew Matten. He looked great. I'll say, Tommy, if you made me pick Pletcher versus Micić before the season, I would have picked Micić by a handful and not even thought twice about it. But obviously, that's going into this match, I want to say, you know, Pletcher was ranked 2, Micić was ranked 7. Micić kicked his butt. It wasn't competitive.
He sure did, and you're right. If Micić had done that to him, you know, in Vegas, and Micić was ranked 2, and Pletcher was made 7th, I guess before the season started, that none of that would have surprised me. I'm basically agreeing with you.
We have too many of the same takes. Damn it all, we need to disagree.
However, on Sunday, I was surprised by the result. Micić is just so good. I mean, other than Isaiah Martinez, he's my favorite non-Buckeye. I just love how he wrestles, man. He's got some great skills.
I'm trying to think who my favorite. I mean, I love Isaiah Martinez. I guess I go favorite non-Tigers. I think Nolf would be my favorite non-Missouri Tiger. Yeah, probably Jason Nolf.
A lot. He's definitely right up there. I'd say Imar, I guess Micić in terms of a guy that's, I don't want to say under the radar, but for that upper echelon of the college wrestlers, he's under the radar. I just think his skill set is outstanding. And he showed it. He's a pretty crafty dude.
Definitely. Okay, 41, 49, I don't need to talk about him. 57, from looking at the score, I was kind of like, oh, that's just terrible for Micah. When I watched the match, and you said this in text before I watched it, it wasn't that bad. He got caught for 6 points, wrestled decent after that. I mean, is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you know, it's the second time he's got hit in some silly near fall skills. He got sucked back by Mick in the by Pantaleo in the Vegas finals. So I think Pantaleo's got some girth there that Mick's just not used to feeling.
Yeah.
But you know, it is, I do believe it's a result that he can overturn. Just, you have to give Pantaleo the edge. That's 2 times in a row where he's caught him in some pretty deadly skills. So yeah, it was unfortunate to watch as a Buckeye fan, to say the least.
Definitely. Massa finally looks better again against Tishon Campbell. But then we go to Bo Jordan versus Miles Amin. Man, Amin has wrestled tough, because if you remember, he got 2 takedowns against Mark Hall and lost on a ride time point.
He also started the Big Ten tournament off last year with giving Bo Jordan more than a scare in the quarterfinal round. So I've known this guy's good for quite some time.
Well, he's only a sophomore right now.
I know. He's a freshman. He got All-American last year as a freshman.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he wrestled great. I mean, he wrestled a very solid match, believed he could win the whole time. What else can you say? And
Here's what I can say. Why in the hell did Bo Jordan pretty much cut him with, like, 25 left? I mean, he was riding him hard, and essentially you're up by 2, and so if you give him the escape, now he can win the match. Bo pretty much let him go in that restart. I mean, there was not a huge effort to keep him down. You agree with that?
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm not really sure why. You know, I wish I had a good answer, because Yeah, I mean that's the match on the line right there. So
that's the. I mean, even if Bo rides him for another 10 seconds, it takes. I don't believe there was a stall warning at that point. Even if he rides him another 10 seconds, I mean that's going to make it significantly harder for Amin to win the match. I just think that was a huge mental error to make at that point in the match to just give almost no effort towards riding.
No doubt. I was actually really encouraged. I don't know how closely you watched the match, but I was actually really encouraged in the beginning. I saw Bo working for level fakes, and actually he was more active on his feet than he had been in the last few matches. But, you know, I think as the match wore on, he settled into the way he's been wrestling instead of settling out, which is not uncommon. And, you know, we got what we got. But, you know, he's obviously still in the hunt there, and I'm just hoping for him to kind of make up that 1 or 2% that's not there right now.
Yeah. Yeah, because now he's going to be – he's going to be the 3 seed at the Big Ten tournament. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know that it matters, but it would have been him and Amin regardless, 2 or 3.
There's no way he goes down to the 4 seed, right?
I wouldn't think. I mean, I'm trying to think who would be the 4.
I'm gonna look it up right now. We need someone who looks these things up while we're on the podcast, so we don't have to.
We can do that. We can arrange that.
Okay, let me look at this real fast. 174. Okay. Yeah, because you got Zahid, you got Daniel Lewis, you got Jordan Cutler.
You're talking about Big Ten.
I'm talking non-Big Ten, obviously. There's a lot of non-Big Ten guys. Damn. Who is the next guy? Because then you got Lujan's Northern Iowa.
Amin is not enough for you?
Bernstein, Subject, Mejias, Koser. Dylan Liddy is the 4 seed. So that's a big difference, too. If someone got dropped down to the 4 seed.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, but, well, that's – for the Big Ten is concerned right now, only having 3 in the top 10 is not very good. Because when you go to say
– But if you think about it, Ben, the conference you came from only had 4 teams, so it's still a pretty
– For God's sakes, Tommy. Okay, but, like, at 165, they have 6 in the top 10.
I know. It's pretty good in other weight classes, but 3 in the top 10, I mean, you know, it's pretty good compared to what the Big 12 had, you know.
Big 12 in the mid-2000s was the toughest conference that the NCAA wrestling's ever seen.
Ever seen. There we go. Four. Per capita, maybe. I'll
and they
that.
Have 6 in the top 10 at 125 also. So, yeah, there's a bunch of weight classes like that. Okay, hey, Albinator versus Miles Martin, that was fantastic. I could watch them wrestle all day. That was so much fun.
I thought it was a great match. You know, Miles, it was a close match, but I thought that it was more of a credit to how good Albinator is. I don't think Miles underperformed.
My opinion. I mean, Albinator, I thought Albinator had the match winning takedown against Bo Nickel. In my opinion, if I'm the referee, yeah. I'm giving him 2 points against Bo Nickel, which would have put him up by 1. So, no, I don't think Miles Martin ever performed. I think it was just great wrestling. I enjoyed all of it. There was a handful of really great scrambles where neither guy was really making mistakes. They were just both doing awesome things, which let the scramble go on.
Yeah, no, it was a great match. I think the right guy won in terms of who's better by not much, but better. But, man, that's a semifinal right there, potentially.
Yeah, so right now, that weight for me is very top-heavy because you got Bo and Miles. You got Pete Renda and Ryan Price, who are both good. You got Dominic Abinader at 5. And then Emery Parker at 6, that's just kind of a drop-off to me from 5 to 6.
What's funny is Emery Parker is the one that beat Miles last year, but I agree.
But he kind of came out. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just when I guess maybe I should look up Emery Parker's season stat sheet this year. But I just – for me, I feel – oh, wait, I think I might be getting it. Hold on. I'm trying to look it up here. Okay, here we go. Let's see who he's got. He lost to Ricky Robertson, so that's not so good for Mr. Emery Parker. He beat Nick Gravina. He beat Nate Jackson, who that's a post grade. He beat Taylor Venz. He's beat Mitch Sliga. So, you know, he's only got one loss, but he hasn't beat anybody that's in the top five.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I got you.
Okay. So you agree it's drop off.
Yeah.
He only beat Mitch Bowman 5-3. So, yeah, that's a drop off, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, anyways, Ben, that was a tough rebound duel for Ohio State. Michigan lived up to the hype. They're freaking fantastic.
He skipped Colin Moore.
He kicked his butt. I don't want to talk about mismatches.
Well, I want to talk about Colin Moore because I have to bring up your Mental Monday again.
Okay, let's go.
You said in one of your Mental Mondays today that this time of year, there's not a whole lot you can do physically. One more workout's not going to make you in better shape. One more drill session is not going to give you better skills. Trying to reinvent a move, you know, you kind of are what you are.
Yeah.
And it's more or less between the ears at this time of year. Absolutely. I know Tom Ryan gave – I know Colin Moore was not sick against Penn State. And Tom Ryan gave him numerous days off and said, come back refreshed and ready to go, which I think is good coaching. But it takes some intuition and possibly some experience to coach guys that way. And I don't think Colin came back to work out until the very end of the last week.
Really? Wow.
I thought it showed.
Huh.
Yeah, and I thought it showed. I mean, I think that it's all about your mind. These last 5 or 6 weeks, Ben, of the season, you know, unlike people like you who just loved it all the time.
I love it.
I remember being tested mentally. And, you know, it's like it's 5 weeks to go and you just got to be dialed in and you can't let everything get to you. And this is what this time of year is all about. And Colin Moore's a marked man. And it was good to see him kind of bounce back and get back on to form. So I was happy about that. And I thought it was interesting what Coach Ryan did to get him back in the swing of things.
Yeah, I have heard of that tactic before, and that it sounds like what Colin Moore needed. Man, how bad he looked at Penn State. I know you're not going to tell me the right answer, but I almost have a feeling that it could be a weight-cutting issue as well.
For who?
Colin Moore.
Possibly.
Because he was sketchy in the beginning of season two where he was really up and down, off and on type of stuff.
Possibly, man. But I think, you know, as good as Colin Moore is, we've got to remember he was not Mr. Blue Chip marked man.
Yeah.
You know, and he was a one-time state champion, you know, quotations only in high school. He's just never had the target on his back.
Yeah, and so that makes sense.
I think he's just – you know, I think it might be the way – I just think it's everything. And but he's great. He's proven that time and time again. So I just think if he's in the right mindset, he's going to do what everyone thinks he should do at a relatively weak 197 this year.
That's fair. And, you know, when you're cutting hard weight, the only hump you have to get over at NCAAs is the quarterfinals.
That's right.
The first day you're going to have someone pretty easy, and then the night you'll be good.
The quarters.
This is the quarters, because then the semifinals. The so,
you know that I don't. I got to give you some credit, Ben.
What's up?
That is a common discussion amongst collegiate wrestling coaches about their guys. How the quarterfinals for a tough weight cutter is the only round you got to be, you know, watching out for. But I don't know if that's ever been discussed publicly. That is so critical for your guys that are cutting weight at the end of the season. That quarterfinal round is where. You can get snake bit.
Yeah. Let me tell you this. I have a random thought for you. Can I just enter a random thought into the conversation?
I can tell by the dead air time between your words the past 30 seconds that you've been thinking.
Okay. Because I didn't know. I was thinking, should I bring this up or should I not bring this up? Okay. Here's what I'm thinking. Cool. I was just thinking about a match that happened, and I'm blanking which match it was right now. Tommy, you know how if you're on bottom and you get to rear standing, it's a reversal 2 points?
Yes.
Okay. If you're on bottom and you get the guy's leg up in a single leg, I think it should be a reversal 2. What do you think?
Definitely 1.
Well, you can't. So, I mean, but then you can't give him one because then he could get an easy two because he's got the leg in the air.
Well, no. Okay, so it's one if you go out of bounds.
Oh, yeah, if you go out. No, what if you stay in the center?
Well, I don't think it's a stalemate. It just depends on how legitimate you have the lifted single. It becomes interpretive like a lot of things in our sport. But I know what you're getting at. And I don't disagree with the concept. But, I mean, if it's a lifted single where his heel is as high as your chin, you know, yeah, I can live with the two. But if it's a lifted single and his heel is 3 inches from the mat.
No. All the way up.
I can do that. I can dig it.
Because my argument is that obviously rear standing is not a two-point takedown, but it's a reversal. And so lifting someone's leg up is not a takedown, but it should be a reversal. Because, God, which match was it where the guy kept trying? It was one of the – I only watched two matches, Iowa, Penn State, or Ohio State, Michigan, where the guy was trying to trip him forever, and he couldn't trip him. But so the other guy is clocking up the riding time while this guy's trying to finish the damn single leg. And I'm thinking, this looks ridiculous.
I'm not sure, man, but I'm with you. I follow that. I can dig it.
Okay. All right. So let's go Iowa, Penn State. What do you think?
I hate to say it, man, but Penn State is starting to separate.
Aren't they, though?
Yeah, they are. I mean, they just are. Now, I mean, I'm not even going to say it because
– Go ahead, say it. Let's go.
It's bad. I'm a Buckeye, dude.
I know.
But they've had Ohio State was at Penn State and at Michigan, and the NCAAs are at Ohio. So I'm just hoping that, to your point, everyone, you know, the Buckeyes will wrestle up to the average. Penn State wrestle. You know, they've had Iowa and the Buckeyes at home,
and they've looked good both weekends.
Yeah, they've had a great platform to freaking show that they're playing for keeps. But they're doing all this without Nolf, so.
Yeah, but I mean, if you remember, Penn State didn't look great against Michigan. You remember Nolf?
And where was that?
I think it was at Michigan, I believe.
That's right. That's right, man. So I mean, I guess, you know, it's anyways.
You can't be up all the time. I mean, that's as simple as it. You can't be up all the time because if you're judging that one match, that was a subpar match for Nolf. A subpar match for Hall and a subpar match for Bo Nickel. And so, you know, you can't be up all the time. I thought Penn State looked outstanding from top to bottom. Even honestly, Tommy, even in the Chenzo Marinelli match, Marinelli wins. There is nothing about that win that tells me Marinelli can do it again. Zero. There's literally not one thing. If they wrestled 10 times, and you tell me I got to bet. I'm betting $1,000 on 10 for 10 for Chenzo.
You know, I'm with you here, but Chenzo deserved to lose that match.
Okay, that is a fair statement. That is a totally fair statement. And you and I texted about this a little bit. Chenzo, right. he got kind of arrogant, almost arrogant about.
Listen, so Chenzo, here's what bothers me about Chenzo, because he's great. But he stands up in that overhook position as if his opponent is a clown if he doesn't walk forward in an underhook. It's like I'm not walking forward in an underhook with an inside trip magician, okay? So it's not his job to do it. And he's like mad. He's almost like, you should disqualify this guy from the match with 8 stall calls immediately because he won't walk forward and do what I want him to do. Are you with me or not?
No, I'm totally – the beginning of that match, the beginning of the match was actually foreshadowing for later in the match, which, you know, I didn't realize.
Right.
But how he was trying to, like, carry Marinelli around with double overhooks? It was so ridiculous. It was like, what are you doing?
Marinelli finally did what every, like, guy that wrestled at a high level was thinking. It's like, just freaking bear hug him. He's standing there. Just freaking take him and do it, man.
Well, that's on that. Okay, so. But Vincenzo did inside trip him in the second period. But
his inside trip's phenomenal. That's why nobody's going to walk forward.
But in the third period, he was just like straight up like, la-di-da, I'm going to inside trip you. You freaking suck. And, you know, and then Marinelli just bear hugged him and put him on his back.
He did. But I'm with you. And Marinelli's an Ohio boy. I actually know him personally. But – you know, if I had to pick who's winning that next match, it'd be Vincenzo, and he's probably not walking in there in a braggadocious Trump style way with his overhooks. He's probably wrestling a little tighter.
You think, you know, Kale's got that nice calm demeanor in the corner. I got to imagine he loses his shit like twice a year. Don't you think? Like, just loses his damn mind on somebody. And yeah, I bet Vincenzo after Saturday night was one of them. I bet Kale lost his freaking mind.
Because it's you and I know Kale. We watched him very closely because we grew up watching him, and it wasn't his deal to wrestle that way. Like he took what was given to him and just kept on chomping.
Well, there's a reason he's 159-0.
Right.
And the reason he's 159-0 is he brought his A game every single time. He didn't go la di da. I'm so much better than you. I can just do whatever I want, and they get caught on his back.
Right. Right.
So I think Kale lost his mind. Like, I've been telling you, Vincenzo. I've been telling you, man. You put on your damn back, acting like a fool. You think he yelled at him like that?
Yeah, man. It was. It's almost like you saw it coming the all season, and he's been wrestling great all season.
You know what?
But that goofy stand up, like. Man, why won't you come at me the way I want you to come at me? It's like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, I think I didn't see it coming all season, and then once this happened, to your point, I was like, oh, duh, why didn't I see this coming?
Yeah.
Hindsight's 2020. Right. Okay, so let's just run through this duel real fast. Spencer Lee, he's so ridiculously strong. He just hammer smashes the bars and the halves and the wrist rolls and everything. I mean, holy moly.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't even know what to say.
He's ungodly strong.
Yep. He's looking impressive.
Okay, then you got 43-41-49. You know, rematch. This was a really good match in the duel, but it wasn't competitive this time.
Your point about the Buckeyes, not really, because I think more than Bo Jordan, I think Ohio State has been prone to not holding their guys down at critical moments in the match or just choosing to not ride them. Penn State, Zane Rutherford, Shakur Rashid, you know, even Mark Hall, when they gotta put the clamps on a guy, they're doing it, and they're doing it well. And so Zane, 6-2, but, I mean, it was pretty convincing.
Yeah, pretty convincing. I mean, I don't think Sorensen was close to a takedown. He got ridden forever. He wasn't able to ride. Yeah, I mean, Zane's probably the best wrestler in college, best folk-style wrestler in college today. So I guess no surprise there. Kemmer dominates Penn State's backup, Bo Pfeiffer. We discussed Marinelli Joseph. Mark Hall goes out there, slaps on a pin. Nickel goes out there, slaps on a pin, and then I was sure, you know, I didn't think Cash Wilkie was that great. I really didn't. But good God, Shakur Rashid, he's just on a different level. It's not close. And Cash Wilkie's ranked number 6 or something like that.
Yeah, I know.
So, honestly, I could see either of the Penn State 97s in the finals. I really could.
I know, man. It's crazy. I mean,
yeah,
who do you think they're going to start?
I heard Rashid won that wrestle-off. I bet it's Rashid. He's got better bonus point capabilities. He looked awesome against Michigan. He looked awesome against Iowa. I know Kassar looked good, but I don't see how it's not Rashid.
You know, do you think that perhaps Kassar might be more consistent?
I mean, I think Rashid's only got one loss this year. I think his only loss is I think he's number 9, Frank Mediace or whatever it is from Penn.
He's more lightning in a bottle. You know, you could see, you know, I would take Rashid.
But he's just so, okay, let's see. Anthony Kassar lost to Jacob Holschlag from Iowa. I'm sorry, from Northern Iowa. He barely beat Scotty Boykin in sudden victory. I'm looking through his wins right now. 7-6-5 over Matt McCutcheon. He lost to Garrett Hoffman 11-8. You know, so he's got two losses that aren't that great this year between Jacob Holschlag and Garrett Hoffman, who I don't believe Holschlag or Hoffman is ranked. Holschlag's ranked number 19. Hoffman is not ranked. So those are two not so great losses for Kassar. And Rashid's only got one loss. I think you got it. You have to start Rashid. To me, he's looked so good.
I mean, it's a tough call, but I'm going with Rashid, and whoever they put in there is in the hunt for the title.
Yeah, and I agree with that. You know, 197's not a great weight class this year. I think, you know, there's not a lot of seniors in there, so it is likely going to get better. And then there's a few really good red shirts at that weight class, so I think 197 gets better. But yeah, I could see Rashid or Kassar, you know, making a deep run. I think the Big Ten tournament's going to tell us a lot about how good they are.
No doubt. In Lansing, going to be a good one.
Are you going?
No, I'm holding out for the NCAAs.
Okay.
Actually, I might be going to Big Tens. Actually, I think I might take my sons with me. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Let's see. Do we got anything going? Is there any matches this weekend or no?
Let me see here.
Well, I know. We're taking our kids. I talked to Mom about tomorrow. I talked about the Ignition events, and I know that we are taking our kids to Rutgers versus Wisconsin on Friday night. So
any good matchups there?
Not really.
That doesn't sound like it.
Richie Lewis versus Evan Wick, I guess, would be the best one.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Ohio State and NC State on Sunday. You got
that's a good one.
Yep.
Miles Martin versus Pete Redd is going to be a lot of fun. Kevin Jack versus Joey McKenna should be a good one.
That'll be good. That'll be good kind of.
Micah Jordan, Hayden Hidley.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. I like it. I like them all. That'll be good.
Okay. Wow, there's quite a few good matches in that one.
Iowa and Iowa State, just fireworks-wise, there could be some stuff from the bench that we get to talk about.
Nah, that's a no-go for me. I don't think it's going to be very exciting. What do you think? Metcalf runs across and hits Brands with a chair
maybe,
or something?
Maybe.
I guess it's possible. I would say unlikely. All right, let me look. I'm looking real fast as any other duels. I forgot about Ohio State, NC State. That should be a really good one. Oklahoma, Lehigh, not so great. Northern Iowa, Missouri, Purdue, Wisconsin. Yeah, not much going on this weekend. Okay, I got nothing else for you guys. Tommy, what do you say?
I'm out, dude. All right. I thought we covered some good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we got very technical in that discussion of Kuhn versus Snyder. Spent a lot of time on that. Hopefully, we didn't get too deep. Hopefully, the people enjoyed it.
I thought it was good. That's what we do, man. We've been wrestling our whole lives. I think we should talk about that stuff.
All right. Fair enough, man. Have a good night, Tommy. Thank you, Defense Soap. Thank you, Dalmer Mats. Peace.
Peace.
You are listening to the T-Row and Funky Show, and it is brought to you by Defense Soap. Defend what you've built. Tommy, I got to say, I tried these products. He shipped me a box. I love them. I've had, if you know me, you know I've had ringworm issues for a long time. So I'm looking forward to putting these in my repertoire and hoping the ringworm does not come back ever.
No doubt, Ben. And to top that off, the company was created by wrestlers. Guy Seiko wrestled at Cleveland State University. His son was an All-American in Virginia. So these people really get it. They know what the wrestling community needs.